This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Welcome into Redacted on this Tuesday. Good to see all of you. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we try to find the truth wherever it leads us. We don't adhere to any propaganda, mainstream media propaganda. We are we fly solo. We are independent.
We are not left. We are not right. We are, I don't know where we are.
Who the hell knows? Who cares? But it doesn't matter because we cover the stories that matter to you. And, you know, like a number of years ago, we told George Galloway the other night, I said, we wanted to create a show that we would want to watch. Like if I could have like an hour and a half show that I could put on where I would get stories that I would not see other places.
Yeah.
That's this show. That's the goal with this show, is to cover the stories you're not going to see other places. And we're going to bring you, because, you know, you might have seen in the news today that Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested. But of course, what you will not see is why, and the deeper silencing that is now going on. Why was this guy arrested just a few hours before he was about to spill the beans? Oh, could it be because there's massive corruption going all the way up to the top? We're going to unpack a number of angles to this story today that are really, really fascinating.
Plus, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida has continued to ramp up his attacks on the biopharmaceutical industry, specifically around COVID vaccines and mandates. Here's what he has promised to do. We're going to take a look at what he's actually implementing.
Yeah, big bombshell today. Also, you might have heard the story about nuclear fusion, the big breakthrough that suddenly now everyone's talking about. Holy smokes, the power of the sun in our hands. Not nuclear reactors, but nuclear fusion. But wait a second. Didn't we know about this for decades? So we're going to look at why it was silenced and suppressed for so long.
Plus another Bill Gates story, how he's readying himself and his wallet for another pandemic.
Yeah, we got the, and he's going to tell us where it is, where it's going to start, and the outbreak involved in the next pandemic. So get your calendars ready. If you have any travel plans, Bill Gates is already telling us when that's going to happen. And a really crazy story about a womb factory. Yes. We're marching towards getting rid of women altogether. Like this is the plan from these globalists. Like we even changed the name of the definition of a woman in the dictionary today. So that's changed now. And now we don't even need your wombs. We're going to do it in a factory. Are you uncomfortable? Are you part of the rebellion? Nice to see all of our rebels today as Redacted starts right now. Yeah, it is camel flu. I saw someone in the chat saying on Rumble saying camel flu. It is camel flu time. Like, you know, we've already got another. No, it's totally. And this Bill Gates thing is separate from camel flu. It's totally separate. And Natalie's dressed for it. She's wearing camel.
I wore camel color.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I didn't mean to. But yes, that you can read all about that and more in the newsletter we produce every day. It's redacted.inc. You go there, you sign up, put in your email address. You do have to authenticate it. So then go over to said email, click, yes, I want this email newsletter every day. You get a lot of stories that we'll talk about here, plus many extras. And it's free. It costs you nothing. You also, while you're there at redacted.inc, can join our community for about the price of a cup of coffee. You can join the community so that we are less dependent on the platforms that you have found us on, so that when, you know, we've been talking about extensively how the rules change on social media and media platforms, and, you know, we cannot predict how much longer we are given a voice on these platforms, because we see that it's not the algorithm, it's actual people, trolls, right, that work inside of these companies that are deciding what we can and cannot say. So we will try to continue to play by the rules, but we love to have a place to communicate with you off offhand as well.
Oh, I'm posting on Telegram right now. Just give me a second. We have our Telegram channel. I just want to post that we are live on Telegram. And I should say congratulations to Argentina. So all of our, anybody here watching from Argentina.
You gotta have a spoiler warning for that kind of stuff.
Well, no. I mean, come on. Everyone in the chat right now is saying Argentina. So everyone who's watching in the chat right now knows what just happened.
Okay, Mark in the chat asks if we're brother and sister. I just want to clear that up first. No, we're not. We're a married couple.
If you're from Argentina, you know what just happened.
Yes.
Like,
clearly.
There's not like a hidden, you're not going to find out. Anyway, congratulations to Argentina. So let me just post here in the old.
Well, and I wanted to speak to what Natalie said really quick about... the arbiters of truth at these platforms, some of them have doctors for parents. So they are, they can make those decisions.
Yes. Yeah. What he's referring to was the Twitter dump yesterday, where after Twitter had congratulated itself and employees were high-fiving each other over banning President Trump, they said, oh, okay, next we need to take on Twitter. That's our, COVID. That's our next big thing. We'll take on medical misinformation because my dad's a doctor. So that's, assuring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, we are Real Redacted over on Telegram if you want to get the alerts there. So we publish on Telegram to let you know when we're live. All right. Well, we have got a lot of news to get to. Let's start with this whole Sam Bankman-Fried arrest because the whole thing stinks to high heaven. Which I imagine is what his hair must smell like, too. Anyway, we're going to show you in a minute how bad this thing stinks. But first, some context on SBF. In early November, we learned that the $30 billion FTX empire, led by the little crypto golden boy who everyone loved, Democratic funder Sam Bankman-Fried, was just a house of cards. I mean, it was sitting on, it was just a house of cards, came crumbling down. Though to outsiders who weren't really paying attention, it seemed like, oh, this came out of nowhere. But to people that knew Sam Bankman-Fried, who knew what he was up to, knew the game that he was playing, this was always going to happen. There were warning signs all over the place. Gary Gensler, warnings that happened right under the nose of this guy, Sam's friend and associate, Gary Gensler. He's the head of the SEC under the Biden administration. Odd that one of the Democrats' biggest donors would be overlooked by the SEC.
Yes, I would say that's a coincidence. Like,
it looks like he could have got away with it too if it wasn't for those pesky kids. He looks like one of those unmasked guys on Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
He does. Oh, those pesky kids. So that was early November, and a lot of us were wondering when exactly was Sam Bankman-Fried, who was holed up in the Bahamas, actually going to be arrested and indicted. Well, that moment finally happened last night. So Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested shortly after 6 p.m. at his apartment complex, a luxury gated community in the Bahamas. The Southern District of New York brought the criminal charges initially. These were the initial charges, which could amount to over 600 years in jail.
Now, we reported recently that the Bahamas was going to fight the United States for jurisdiction over who was going to actually investigate this case. But the Bahamas, the Bahamian prime minister, released a statement with the indictment saying, it's okay, you guys, you can take him. We're going to do our own thing. We're still going to investigate. But yeah, go ahead. The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times had sort of warmed us up saying this is going to be a big jurisdiction fight. The Bahamas is not just going to let the U.S. have this guy. Right. I guess that was not true.
No, apparently not, because the criminal charges, including in this whole thing, I went through it this afternoon and all of the different lawsuits, include wire fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy, securities fraud and money laundering. Earlier in the day, he showed up on a Twitter Spaces interview where he said he didn't think he was going to be arrested. He's no soothsayer because it was like just a few hours later he was arrested. But the timing of all of this is pretty darn fishy because in less than 24 hours, Sam Bankman was set to testify before Congress. Now, this is the big question. So why the hell would authorities swoop in less than 24 hours before he is set to spill the beans in front of Congress? Testimony that could be used against him later on. So Congressman Lee Zeldin is pissed. He wants to know why. He tweeted this. Tomorrow, Sam Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify in front of the House Financial Services Committee, was ready to grill him six ways to Sunday. Now, breaking tonight, SBF was just arrested.
Yes, you make a good point, because whatever he said in that testimony could absolutely be used against him in a case.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, the Justice Department wanted to indict him, they should have just let him speak, because he, without this forthcoming, he would absolutely have been less careful.
Yeah.
They would have so much more to work with. Why would they purposely handicap themselves in this way?
Yeah, and then
because there's probably names that he could throw out that would be implicated, you know, like they don't know, like he's a loose cannon right now to them, so he could implicate a bunch of people and completely like take it to a whole different place.
Yes, yeah. You have to think they're protecting people because they've weakened their own case.
Right, right. And so Lee Zeldin finished that tweet off by saying, "Why not allow him to testify first tomorrow and answer our many questions?" Great question, Lee Zeldin.
Well, he won't now. And his lawyers would say, no, we're going to plead the fifth. Like, there's no lawyer. In the same with the Trump case, when he was about to testify on the deposition for the attorney general in New York City. In New York,
And he was going to.
Right. The raid on his home came just before that testimony. And he said, sorry, I have to plead the fifth because I cannot incriminate myself in one case that could be used against me.
So something really fishy going on here, guys. I mean, really fishy.
If I were his attorney, the things that I'd be requesting, make sure the cameras on his cell are working and make sure the guards are awake and not reading magazines.
Well, I said earlier, I didn't say this to you guys right now, to you, to the thousands watching us, but I wrote it down because I'm going to say it later. I think he's being Epstein'd. Like, I think he's being silenced.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right. Like, make sure there's cameras on in this cell, because of who he knows. That's why he's being silenced. And even Maxine Waters, who initially didn't even want to talk to him, Democrat Maxine Waters, issued this statement just a few minutes ago. Following news that Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, released the following statement. I'm surprised to hear that Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas. It's about time the process to bring Bankman-Fried to justice has begun. However, the public knows my staff and I've been working diligently for the past month to secure Bankman-Fried's testimony before our committee tomorrow morning. We received confirmation this afternoon from Bankman-Fried, and as lawyers, he was still planning to appear before the committee tomorrow, but then he was arrested. They deserve to hear him publicly, she says. Why? I'm disappointed. We'll not be able to hear from Bankman-Fried tomorrow. We remain committed to getting to the bottom of what happened. So then Mr. John Ray III, who is now the new CEO of FTX, testified before Congress today. And he's basically like, we don't know that any money is going to be able to come back to Americans who lost money. We think some of it might, but we don't know. A lot of this money is commingled. We don't know. So that's
but
all they got.
For her, there's more than just a missed opportunity to grandstand, which we know that these congressional committees, they have subpoena power, but they don't have any power to bring anybody to justice. They only make recommendations based on what they find. So a lot of it is just grandstanding, them asking tough questions and looking tough in order to endear their voters. But she's a different story because she was such a big recipient of his donations.
Right.
And so even before this arrest, she had been trending because people said she should absolutely recuse herself from this investigation. She should not be heading the House Financial Services investigation about this because she's compromised.
Well, and you remember at the beginning of this, she wasn't even going to have him come to the testimony.
No, her language was very much like, not that interested, but it's on the table.
Yeah, we don't really need to talk to him. We just want to talk to people around him. Oh, really?
Well, then was this a subpoena? Because wouldn't a federal subpoena override a state subpoena? Like, couldn't they, like, how could a federal government not request a state?
I don't know how, I mean, I don't know how he was subpoenaed in this. Like, he was asked to testify before Congress. So I don't know if that's a federal subpoena.
So it's just
subpoena.
A voluntary, yeah.
Basically, it's a voluntary thing.
Until it's not, because that's what Steve Bannon was indicted on, because he refused to testify.
Right.
So they invite and then they subpoena.
Then they
and
compel.
Then they,
yeah.
Yes.
So
it would seem like if they really want him to be there, then they could subpoena him and it would supersede the state having him, I would think.
Well, there was not a subpoena, it seems.
But at this point, now it's going to be hard to say. Now they're sort of turning it over to, because now it's criminal. So now these charges are criminal. And earlier this morning, we had a sealed indictment. So this was the attorney for the Southern District of New York. Earlier this evening, Bahamian authorities arrested Sam Bankman-Fried at the request of a government based on a sealed indictment. We expect to move to unseal the indictment this morning. And then, of course, now we have. So that was this morning. Now we know what's in these indictments.
You said Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried. Yeah, I hate the fact. I hate people with three names.
Well, that's why most news articles refer to him as SBF. So let's just
heretofore, it's SBF. So U.S. prosecutors on Tuesday charged SBF with 8 counts of fraud and conspiracy. You can read their lawsuits in multiple locations. The Securities and Exchange Commission also then sued SBF. So separately, so you have the Southern District of New York doing it. Then you have the Securities and Exchange Commission, Gary Gensler, not to be like, oh, now he gets in on it at the last minute. And then one piece, and then the Commodities Futures Trading Commission also sued SBF, a separate indictment, as well as FTX and Alameda Capital. So anyway, lots of lawsuits. One piece, though, I'm not going to go through all of them, but one piece that I found really interesting is the campaign finance part of the indictment. This is count number 8 of the indictment, and you can read it here. Count number 8, conspiracy to defraud the United States and violate the campaign finance laws. From at least in or about 2020 up until including November 2022 in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, SBF, the defendant, and others known and unknown knowingly did combine, conspire, confederate, and agree together with each other to defraud the United States in violation of Title 18. And willfully, knowingly did combine, conspire, confederate, and agree together with each other to commit offenses against the United States by engaging in violations of federal law involving the making, receiving, and reporting of contribution, donation, expenditures in violation of Title 52. Campaign finance laws.
Okay.
You know what that sounds to me? It's like, hey, he sent us a bunch of money. We didn't know. Like, what were we supposed to do? It just showed up in our accounts and our super PACs. It wasn't our fault.
Right.
Like, it sounds like they're trying to make excuses.
Well, who's reporting? Did he not properly report campaign donations? That doesn't seem likely because he was reporting it all over the place. He was flaunting it,
right.
Taking pictures with congressional leaders. So was there a way that contributions, donations, or expenditures were funneled to these politicians that was not reported by them, or that was some type of favor without a favor, right? Like we've talked about, a lot of that money went to Ukraine. Did it then come back around to politicians?
If the indictment is on him, if the indictment is on him,
right.
And no Congress people are named, then it has to be what you said first, which him not reporting it. Or him not doing something.
Right. And will they end it? This is where I'm getting to the Epstein part of this, right? The silencing of this guy. Because this is the Southern District of New York, remember? This is like Democratic headquarters, Southern District of New York, right? This is the heart of it. This is the heart of the liberal movement. This is heart of Hillary country here.
Yes.
So, you know, are we going to get an honest investigation of this?
This is the office that went after Martha Stewart.
Yes, this is the office that went after Trump.
Yes.
Continues to go after Trump. So are we going to get something fair here in the Southern District of New York? I'll leave that for you to decide. Brad Sherman, though, Democrat of California, one of the crypto industry's loudest critics on Capitol Hill, Democrat, today went after FTX chief executive John Ray, who was there. He was turning over documents and could help with law enforcement about the collapse of the crypto exchanges. He says that I hope you will turn over a list of major bonuses and loans so that law enforcement can piece together when those loans or bonuses were made and whether they immediately processed this guy, meaning SBF's campaign contributions. So they want to know, like, where did these campaign contributions go? Where did they flow to? And we'll find out. I mean, and if campaign laws were violated. So violating campaign finance laws, according to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. prosecutors are looking into this. The indictment on Tuesday, whether or not and how some of his money flowed to some of Washington's biggest donors in U.S. politics. And then, of course, there's the giant Ukrainian question, right?
Yes.
And where that money was being laundered from Democrats into Ukraine and then back into Washington again.
Because it was only 6 months ago that we were congratulating FTX for setting up crypto donations into Ukraine, directly into the Bank of Ukraine.
Not us, but other people were congratulating.
Right. We collectively, the media.
Right. Like, oh, he's such a golden boy. Like, he's fantastic. That sounds much better, David. Thank you. Fixing my audio. Or whoever is. So there's a nameless mouse moving across my screen. I don't know who's in there manipulating it, but thank you. So perhaps...
It's me.
They won't... It's not you, it's me. Perhaps they won't let him talk because of his deep connections to the Democrats and the SEC's Gary Gensler. So this is where this gets really incestuous and interesting, right? We're learning this morning that Gensler, who's a former Goldman Sachs executive, Obama administration official, Clinton's 2016 campaign CFO, and FTX associate Sam Bankman-Fried friend and associate. And essentially had two different calendars that he was keeping. We're learning this from a Freedom of Information Act request that he's been scrubbing his other calendar of past appointments that he's had. Trying to hide that.
Who is it that puts nefarious calendar appointments in writing? Don't you just remember that shit?
Like Tuesday, honey, I can't go to lunch. Tuesday at 10 a.m., I got a lunch with Hitler. So I can't. Okay. That's on my calendar here. I'm putting that on my calendar.
All right.
Here.
I was going to go slash tires.
You put that's Thursday at 4 p.m.
Yes,
slash
that's
tires.
That's what I was going to do.
Saturday at 1 a.m., rob a bank. Okay. Yeah. So these guys are freaking idiots. But he had two calendars, one that was like his public one, and the one where he was like keeping his nefarious shit, according to Fox News, who uncovered this through a Freedom of Information Act request. They found that he was keeping, he's going back and scrubbing a whole bunch of high profile meetings that he's been having, namely one Hillary Clinton. That's just one. And we're going to find out more of who he's been meeting with over the past year, year and a half. Congressman Emmer also has a few questions for Gary Gensler as well. Congressman Emmer tweeted this. Interesting that Gary Gensler runs to the media while reports to my office allege he was helping Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX work on legal loopholes to obtain a regulatory monopoly. We're looking into this. So wouldn't it have been great to hear from SBF publicly in front of Congress so we could get answers as to how cozy were you with the SEC chairman? What was he informing you about? What were these meetings looking like about these regulations that he was helping you avoid? So, right, he was right about this, because instead of getting to the bottom of this, Gensler ran right to television that very morning. I remember this happening, to cover his own ass. So here is Gensler that very morning on CNBC shortly after this news broke. Like, I'm ready for my cameras. Where's my cameras? CNBC, watch.
Lots of questions this morning for you about what is happening. And so let's just start with, what do you know and what are you investigating?
Andrew, as you can imagine, and your viewers know, that I can't speak about any possible investigations. But let's step back and say what's happening.
Because let me just stop there for a second. Because I can't speak to you about any possible investigations yet, because probably there are none at all. Now we got to cook one up really quickly.
Really is as old as finance and as antiquity. When you mix together a bunch of customer money, non-disclosure, and leverage, borrowing against it, and inside, these companies trading, investors get hurt. And I think just looking at what we see in the press, if I can stay with that, just Andrew.
Oh, so... just what we learned in the press. That's what I can't talk about all of our big investigations that we're currently working on right now.
Then why do we have you on? Because we are the press, and right. We've been presenting those things.
So just
thanks
what I see.
For telling me what we've been reporting.
Just what I saw this morning on your show while I was getting ready in the green room having coffee. That's all I can talk about. I can't
I
talk about these
reiterate
big investigations that I'm working on. Wink, wink, wink.
This story has been going on for many months. You remember the collapse of Terra Luna and a bunch of crypto lending platforms. Well, it looks like in the last few days, this is all interconnected. This is a very...
So under your watch, Mr. Gensler, one of the largest crypto collapses, Terra Luna, happened months before this. And they're connected? It looks like now they were connected. Why didn't you stop it? If you have the indication, wait a minute. This is connected? You're telling us, but we don't have no evidence of that. So when you guys didn't investigate that and that happened on your watch, so what the hell? I'm sorry.
Interconnected world in crypto with a few concentrated players at the middle. And one of those concentrated players had the toxic combinations of lack of disclosure, customer money, a lot of leverage, meaning borrowing, and then trying to invest with that. And then when markets turned on them, it appears that a lot of customers lost money. And that's where our mission is about those customers.
Yeah, now it is. Now that all that money's gone, now that's our mission. That's our mission now that all that money's gone. So Gensler not only failed to spot the crime, he appeared set the whole time to go along with the legislative strategy that would have given SBF regulatory protections in all of this. According to reports in Forbes, the reason behind SBF's decision this summer to obtain control over BlockFi, the other one that just went bankrupt, was to benefit from the troubled crypto lenders' recent settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission. So it would have a blanket basically extending this SEC amnesty to FTX because now we own BlockFi. So it would shield him from the SEC essentially and give him regulatory ability to operate inside the United States protected by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So yeah, it's really surprising that they wouldn't let him speak in front of Congress. I mean, Reuters, by the way, got their hands on the testimony of SBF. Like, he was about to give this testimony. Reuters got their hands on it. How the hell did that happen? Did somebody leak it from their side? I mean, did Reuters break into his computer or his lawyer's computers? How do you have the testimony of Sam Bankman-Fried that he was about to give in front of Congress?
I can't think of how.
Someone gave it to him. Someone either on the SBF side or the Democrats. Someone gave Reuters the testimony.
Yeah.
This corruption goes all the way up. In prepared testimony that Reuters got their hands on, he planned to deliver to the House Financial Services Committee this morning, fallen crypto prodigy. He declared, I want to start today by formally stating under oath that I effed up. Like, that's how he was going to start in front of Congress. And then.
Does that mean if he had testimony already that he got questions previously too then? Because. How would he know what questions they were going to ask him?
Well, I mean,
you just
maybe
mean a prepared statement.
I think it was a prepared statement, but that was like he'll open up with a 15-20 minute speech about, you know,
right.
That. So we have that piece of it. I don't know that we have answers. They may have given him questions ahead of time, like these are things we're going to ask you, so be prepared to answer these.
Perhaps.
Yeah. But he did say that he was going to change his mind when he was pressured by lawyers to step down as FTX CEO. Following the exodus of customer money, he was going to tell Congress today that he changed his mind less than 10 minutes later when he received a sudden potential funding of billions of dollars.
Mm.
Where'd that money come from? I would like to know that. Who, when they see that FTX is collapsing, offers billions of dollars?
Well, okay, but can I just put forth an alternative conspiracy theory?
Okay.
This is theory, okay? But maybe the Justice Department actually got wind that there was a elected official going to try and bail out FTX in order to preclude any kind of investigation. Like, let's prop this company back up so there's no investigation. Mm. This is the Justice Department actually working in order to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, but the Justice Department's hands aren't in this at all, are they? It's the Southern District of New York.
But that is.
Well, maybe somehow they accidentally
thought
he was Zelensky.
That is a branch of the Justice Department.
I guess. Okay. But it's not Merrick Garland.
Right. But it could be that they sort of got wind of this and they're like, we can't let this company succeed so that it precludes an investigation because there's too much bad stuff here. Mm. We better take it now.
I like where you're going
before with this. I'm going to say politician character gets in there and bails this company out, and then we've got nothing. They had to take it out of politicians' hands.
Yeah, perhaps. Okay.
And that's the only way that they would have, because otherwise they would know that they're weakening their case, right? And then there's actually like someone doing their job in the Southern District of New York saying, we got to move on this guy or else we're not going to have anything. If he gets customers back their money, then what do we do? Then we've got no case. And then this fraud dies.
Yeah.
So maybe that is a heroic story inside that this is an alternative. We don't know.
Yeah, perhaps. And David, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just saying maybe they just, some of the money accidentally thought he was Zelensky and it just kind of, you know,
right,
was on its way to Ukraine and somehow just made a side.
I mean, for all that's being sent over there, what's a little bit of a chunk out of it?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just to think, so all these Americans are going to lose their money on this. It's like, okay, so the government can prop up and send money to Zelensky where it's just disappearing. We don't know where $20 billion has gone, but there's $7 billion in the hole in all these Americans like who've lost their life savings because of this guy. Maybe that's something the government could help on, you know, to support, because this happened on their watch. And they, if, you know, if Gary Gensler is saying publicly, like, well, this was all connected. We, you know, Terra Luna, remember that number of months ago? Yeah, it's all connected. Really? Then why didn't
you stop the Pentagon? And the Pentagon recently lost $2 trillion again. It's like they just continually lose money, send money, take money. So it's like there's this big money laundering thing going on, and we don't know who's sending money where. And maybe that's what they're afraid that he would do, is make connect those dots. And they don't want those dots ever connected.
But maybe, and I'm just sort of salivating over this big fish story, maybe there was some kind of big politician who was trying to keep SBF out of prison in order to prop up the company so that we wouldn't find what's under the hood.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both read Preet Bharara's book about he was the head of the Southern District of New York, wasn't he?
Right, yeah.
They want those big fish. Like, if there's a big fish
case
doing wrong, they want it. They're like, they are motivated by sincere, by PR, yes, but also sincere. Like, we want that get, you know, if there's something bad happening in my jurisdiction, they want it.
Yeah.
So maybe we're going to see a big fish, let your imagination run wild on that.
Oh, we're just peeling the onion back. But I'm just saying, like, now he's going to be quiet, and now they may plead some sort of agreement where he just goes to prison, pleads guilty. We never hear from him. That's my, you know, again, this comes back to the congressional testimony piece. Like, you should have let him speak. We could have had all of these answers publicly in front of Congress, but we don't get that now. And so will he be Epstein'd? Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We have a lot more news to get to here on your Tuesday. Governor DeSantis is going after Pfizer biopharmaceutical complex. A few minutes ago, we have amazing testimony or amazing press conference. We're going to bring you the new investigation in Florida. Governor DeSantis going after these mRNA vaccines. And we've got a lot more we're going to tell you about. Bill Gates has announced the date and the location of the next pandemic. So we'll bring you that. They were spot on with the last one, by the way. A few months before it hit, they nailed it. They got that one spot on. And they had vaccines ready to go. It's really amazing how all of this works. So first, let's talk about Governor DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced he is launching a probe to investigate any and all wrongdoing. Oh, boy, we knew this were coming. We predicted this on the show last week when he started talking.
Yeah, about, he told us as much.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't completely candid about it, but he was dropping hint bombs and we were listening.
That he was going after these biopharmaceutical complex for lies and any wrongdoing regarding these experimental shots, these COVID shots. So he said, today I'm announcing a petition with the Supreme Court of Florida to impanel a statewide grand jury to investigate any and all wrongdoing with respect to COVID-19 vaccines. DeSantis said during the Public Health Integrity Committee roundtable, and he had all of these people, doctors from around the state, all surrounding him in support of this. So watch him drop this bombshell. Watch.
Florida, you know, it is against the law to mislead and to misrepresent, particularly when you're talking about the efficacy of a drug. We see just the other, just recently, Florida got $3.2 billion through legal action against those responsible for the opioid crisis. And so it's not like this is something that's unprecedented. So today, I'm announcing a petition with the Supreme Court of Florida to impanel a statewide grand jury to investigate any and all wrongdoing in Florida with respect to COVID-19 vaccines. And we anticipate that we will get the approval for that That will be something that will be impaneled, most likely in the Tampa Bay area. And
look
that
at the
will come
behind him
with
clapping.
Legal processes that will be able to get more information and to bring legal accountability for those who committed misconduct.
Wow. Holy smokes. I mean, let's give him a round of applause. I mean, really, he's the first now to go on the record saying we are going to investigate these pieces of garbage and go after these people for this. This is huge.
Yes.
A lot of other people can talk. He's doing it and impaneling the Supreme Court to go after them. He says this will come with a legal process. We'll be able to get more information, bring legal accountability to those who committed misconduct. We will be able to get the data, whether they want to give it to us or not, in Florida. It is illegal to mislead and misrepresent, especially when you're talking about the efficacy of a drug.
I just want to say, I see a lot of sentiment on Twitter and stuff like that. Like, people are just devastated about, is there ever going to be any good news? And it's things like this that help you realize when you see what's happening on Twitter with the Twitter files. Truth, the power is crumbling. They are worried. There's more people going after them. More stuff is coming to light. And that's a positive thing for me, because the more this stuff comes to light, the more they're held into account, the better it is for us.
Yeah, sunlight is the ultimate disinfectant, isn't it? Anna wrote us earlier today, and Natalie and I, and said, I just stumbled across and found your show. Thank God I found your show, because I can't stand this corruption. To which I wrote her back and said, all you need to do, we need to shine a light on these people. And one way you can do it is to share this show with other people, smash this like button. It pushes us further out into the algorithm against YouTube's wishes when you do that, and share this kind of story so we can actually hold these powerful people to account. We don't do this this show for our health.
Yeah.
She's
one of our accountants, and she wasn't sure what it was we're up to. She's just our bean counter. And she was like, wow, this is what I'm working for this couple. That's great. We have started to see certain nuance pieces fall apart. For instance, in other countries, we saw in Canada, there was litigation against the vaccine mandate by people who I think they were immigrants, who said, what was the science? Show us how government, related the science to mandates. And we saw government employees writing each other and said, quick, I need some science, right?
Right.
So we've seen already these cracks in litigation in other countries. In the United Kingdom, now a regulatory board for the pharmaceutical industry says that Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla did mislead when he talked about the risk of COVID to young children when he was promoting the vaccines before they were approved for children. So these things are not small pieces. They all add up to a narrative full of questions we were not allowed to ask.
And this is maybe why DeSantis is also going up against the CDC. So he also announced today that he wants to establish in Florida, get rid of the CDC and instead place a public health integrity committee, which may replace, we don't know if it's fully going to, the much publicized CDC. He said, we're creating the public health integrity committee, a committee of expert researchers that will be able to assess recommendations and guidance related to public health care, but particularly being able to offer critical assessments of things like that bureaucracies like the FDA, CDC, and the NIH are doing. Fauci's outfit. Listen to him talk about this.
And then finally, and this is exciting, we've seen over the past few years, really the bankruptcy of the public health establishment. We've seen a lot of ridiculous partisanship. I mean, I'll never forget that after hectoring people in April of 2020, you can't leave your house. They were all upset at Florida because people were on the beach and playing golf and all this stuff. That if you left your house, you were almost like a bad person until you started to have George Floyd protests. And you had massive numbers of people that are meeting to protest. And these public health people wrote a letter, were like hundreds, maybe thousands of them signed, saying, yes, we don't think you should be leaving your house normally, but we endorse the protests. And basically said that it was important that people went out even in big groups and protested. And then they said in the letter, that does not mean they support protests for other things, like people that wanted to protest lockdowns. And so if that just didn't take the mask off and just show, you know, that this is all just a huge political farce, I don't know what is. But the reality is, even this in May of June of 2020, I think you've continued to see people in these bureaucracies and in this establishment behave in ways that have totally squandered any type of confidence or goodwill that people would have. And our CDC at this point, anything they put out, you just assume at this point that it's not worth the paper that it's printed on. And so it's not serving a useful function. It's really serving to advance narratives rather than do evidence-based medicine. And
so that's when he announced this new committee in Florida, the Public Health Integrity Committee. I see someone in our chat just explained on Twitter said that the CDC is a bought A CDC is a controlled organization now, like basically.
Well,
run.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's true.
You know, in
it's
Candace
like a marketing
Owens,
arm for the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes.
In Candace Owens' book, she talks about the protests, how we had all been in lockdowns. You can't leave your home. You can't have Halloween. Oh, but there's protests. Okay, go out. That's okay. And her narrative around it, which has a lot of truth to it, is that, you know, the Democratic policies are really meant to keep minority groups sort of in a victim mentality and keep them on the dole, basically, in order to be dependent on the government so that they can assure their votes forever. It's not really an empowerment movement at all. And so anything that stirs up dependency on the government and, you know, victim mentality and hatred absolutely does work in the favor of the Democratic Party. And that's why these protests were good for one party and not the other. So that same party that had kept canceling people because they wanted to go to Red Robin, then were empowering another group, COVID be damned. And you can't make an answer for that. There's no answer for that. Even if you felt like very viscerally affected by the protests, you had to realize that you were promoting a different set of standards for two different types of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also the arbitrary, like at the very beginning, they were charging companies $1,000 a day if they stayed open. So Walmart, Target, all these big companies that could afford that $1,000 were open like nothing was going on. They just paid the $1,000 fine. And then you had all these small businesses that couldn't afford that. So they had to shut down. So from the very beginning, this looked like a ploy to just completely like corporatize this whole thing. And it corporatized all, even to the CDC, because they were doing the bidding of the pharmaceutical industry, as was the FDA,
right,
because they were complicit in hiding those documents for 75 years.
We had an interview with Carol Roth, the author of the great book, The War on Small Business, where she lays out exactly how the government chose winners and losers during the pandemic. For instance, a small like dog hair cutting place, right, couldn't stay open, but PetSmart could still cut dog's hair. Why does that making it, you know, why could you cut a dog's hair and not a human's hair? Those kind of things the government just allowed.
It didn't stop Nancy Pelosi from getting her hair done. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
She was above the law, of course, as usual.
I mean, the thing that really made me so crazy is there's a restaurant in Southern California that spent $80,000 to retrofit for outdoor dining. And then they closed down again due to COVID surges, but let Hollywood film a movie in that parking lot and offer outdoor dining for craft services. Why is that allowed? Why can't the private business make money with outdoor dining, but craft services can for Hollywood?
Yeah.
These things are, they were blaring injustices.
One final note from Governor DeSantis on some of the final points here that he was making at this press conference. Listen to this.
And just show, you know, that this is all just a huge political farce. I don't know what is. But the reality is, even this in May of June of 2020, I think you've continued to see people in these bureaucracies and in this establishment behave in ways that have totally squandered any type of confidence or goodwill that people would have. And our CDC at this point, anything they put out, you just assume at this point that it's not worth the paper that it's printed on.
I just want to play that again because it's so good. So he also noted not only did the vaccines not result in a reduction of all the all-cause mortality, but excess mortality actually increased in their state. So they want to investigate this and get to the bottom of this. You know, again, I'm all about it's enough. To me, talk is cheap, right? Like, okay, a politician who actually takes action to show. And I'm not saying I'm a huge like DeSantis supporter of any kind. I'm just saying this is a huge moment. This is a huge move by a sitting governor of a state to investigate these clowns and get to the bottom of it. And when you have the federal government who had been working in lockstep with them to hide and keep this information from ever getting out to the American people. So this is a big moment. Also, Florida Surgeon General was there, Joseph Lodapo, who was also present at that roundtable and claimed that the state is going to study the incidence in surveillance of myocarditis within a few weeks of COVID-19 vaccinations appearing and people who died. So they're absolutely going to start to study that specific issue as well about myocarditis in Florida. So we're going to get some really interesting data from the state of Florida. Well, so good on DeSantis.
And really quick too, it's a positive thing because like we as people are stripped from the conversation. Like we do not have the power to do what he's doing. We try and we get shut down. You can't protest. You can't ask questions. But when it's somebody like this, we need people like him to do this because we can't do it alone. And so I commend him for that. I'm not a big fan either, but I commend him for that.
But I have some reservations because what if the CDC then mounts its own defense? Then that's on taxpayer dollars. Then we will be paying for the defense of the CDC against this litigation. What if the Justice Department decides to, for some reason, defend the pharmaceuticals in lockstep with the FDA? That is something that, like, we could also be on the defense side, and I don't like that at all.
Maybe. I mean, you know, they have indemnification over the vaccine itself, right? Those are the government contracts they signed with Pfizer and Moderna. But it does not, from what I understand, cover them for misleading the public about their vaccines. So that's one thing, like, to have the vaccines and have a contract, but it's totally another thing to mislead the public about what you knew and when you knew it.
Yes, but we have seen states now suing the Biden administration, such as Missouri and Louisiana, that are suing around what information was censored. And so that is also a possibility. But again, it's taxpayer dollars that will mount the defense.
Right.
And so that turns your stomach. At the same time, you want to see answers. I support these attorneys generals for what they're doing, but you know that it's federal tax dollars that's working against them, and that sucks.
Yeah. Go ahead and smash that like button if you'd be so kind. What that does is it pushes us further out into the algorithm. It really does. It's actually surprising when you actually smash it. We have between Rumble and YouTube over 30,000 people watching right now. That's bigger than an Alanis Morissette concert. So thank you so much. Smash that like button and push us further out into the algorithm. We really appreciate that. We have more news to get to here on this Tuesday. We're going to look at this nuclear breakthrough and this fusion story that's kind of fishy. Everyone's been talking about it over the past 24 hours, but we have a lot of questions about this sudden nuclear fusion breakthrough at a time when we're having an energy grid crisis and collapse. Also, Bill Gates just came out with their brand new pandemic information. So the next pandemic has been named, has a name, and it also has a date and an outbreak center. We're going to tell you where it's going to be outbreaking in the next few years, thanks to Bill Gates and Johns Hopkins University. And we're also going to look at a new womb factory. Forgetting women, they're getting rid of women from the entire conversation. And now you don't even need a woman to have a baby. So we'll tell you about the new womb factory. It's like something out of the Matrix. It's really, really creepy.
Great. But first, we're going to tell you about our show sponsors. Indeed, whether you're hiring for your business, there's usually a choice, hire fast or hire well. But what if you could do both? Then you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. It's basically a person match. Your needs to a person. Done. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. If you have ever hired for a position without using these tools, you know how much of a drudgery it can be. If you hate waiting, Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed's employers find quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Plus, they help you see your top talent's abilities in a flash by adding any of the 135 graded assessment tests to your job posts. You can select the skills that matter. With Indeed's assessment, you can pick from over 100 skill tests and add them to your job post. That way you find candidates with the right skills fast. So Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applicants that match your must-have job requirements. Join the over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. So visit Indeed.com/redacted to start hiring right now. Just go to Indeed.com/redacted. That's Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply.
So thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. When you subscribe, your name will pop up here on the old big Christmas board right behind us. Oh, wait, so Cindy, just Boyenga just became a new rebel. So thank you, Cindy. Merry Christmas to you. Tomorrow, a couple of stories we're working on in the show about transgender sports. We're also looking at the escalation in Ukraine. The United States now sending Patriot missiles. So we're going to be covering the very latest on this, which is not getting any better. It's only getting worse. So we'll have that for you tomorrow on the show. But first, let's talk about nuclear fusion.
All right. Scientists in California have created energy with nuclear fusion. This is not a nuclear power plant. Come out. It's not a nuclear power plant that comes from a factory. It's something completely different. Here's how Financial Times describes it from the information that came out of Lawrence Livermore Lab. So it's like this little chamber. Inside the chamber is a fuel capsule, and inside there is a layer of deuterium tritium fuel. And then basically they shoot up to 192 laser beams. Freaking laser beams. I had to. And they heat it and create a hot plasma and a gas stripped of electrons. And then the reaction the heat spreads rapidly enough through the fuel. And then this is known as ignition, which creates energy. Okay. So that is a very crude explanation of shooting lasers at a man-made little baby sun in order to create an ignition. That
she's not a scientist, but she plays one on television.
But
she did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
This is a crude explanation, but you get it. It's not like nuclear power where you merge. What?
Yeah.
Yes. It's completely different. It's a different thing. They say that there's no nuclear waste like there is when you have nuclear power. And it is a small to big type energy production, as in energy inside of a glass of water could power an entire city, theoretically. Now, the elements needed here are not uranium, which is needed for nuclear power plants, but rather a form of hydrogen called deuterium tritium. We just talked about it. This is the thing we, though, really need to understand, because at this point in geopolitics, we have to ask, where does it come from? Because right now we are suffering from sanctions on Russia and Venezuela because the United States doesn't like those places and doesn't want us to get oil from there. But we are still dependent on oil for energy. So nuclear is another option. But nuclear power plants require enriched uranium. Darn, that comes from Russia too. So when we see something like this, because of the world we live in right now, we have to ask ourselves, okay, but where do we get the materials? Because, you know, when people are saying this will cure our geopolitical ails because it means that we can make our own tiny little power that powers a whole city, and you have to ask yourself, how? Where do we get those things?
Right.
So is it like the movie Back to the Future where you can just get
some plutonium from some Iranians?
He says, oh, in 1985, can you get plutonium from the corner store, right, when he goes back? No. Actually, no. And this is not plutonium, so don't get confused. The deuterium tritium is two elements. Deuterium comes from seawater that is readily available. The tritium part is not. You need lithium to create it. Where does lithium come from? China and South America.
Of course.
So why not in the United States? Well, here's why. From the Institute for Energy Research, the Biden climate tax bill, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, was passed in August, and it provides incentives and subsidies for car buyers and automakers to qualify for the subsidies, which are worth over $10,000 per vehicle. Battery makers must use raw materials from North America or a country with which the United States has a trade agreement that presents a dilemma. Despite dozens of potential lithium mines in the United States and Canada, most projects are in various stages of development and many are years away from production, particularly with environmental lawsuits delaying developments due to multiple points of entry points for litigation in U.S. regulatory law. So many of these mines need to raise billions of investment dollars plus free themselves of litigation without any guarantee that they will ever yield enough lithium to meet North America's needs. Now, this was about lithium for EV batteries. Lithium for this type of power, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to be ready in time for us to move to any kind of new, type of power. But okay, suppose the U.S. and other countries do get its lithium stores up and running. Is this kind of energy actually ready for prime time to solve our energy needs? Well, big potential, but not ready for prime time for these reasons. Listen to Reuters' report on this.
A potentially major scientific breakthrough in fusion energy that could one day provide a cheap source of electricity. According to two sources with knowledge of the matter, scientists at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California for the first time ever have produced a nuclear fusion reaction resulting in a net energy gain in an experiment using lasers. Fusion works when nuclei of two atoms are subjected to extreme heat of more than 100 million degrees Celsius or 180 million degrees Fahrenheit, causing them to fuse into a new larger atom, giving off enormous amounts of energy, the same process that powers the sun and stars. But the process consumes vast amounts of energy, and the trick has been to make the process self-sustaining and to get more energy out than goes in, and to do so continuously instead of brief moments.
Okay, so a couple of problems here. They can't have it continuous. They cannot harness it yet. All they are saying is that they can get more energy out of it that they put into it, about 120% more. They put in 2.1 megajoules of power. They got out 2.5. But again, they weren't able to harness it and then like put it into your lamp. It's just not there yet.
Can I just be a conspiracy theorist for a moment? Actually, not a conspiracy theorist for a moment. And Philip, maybe you can even jump in on this from your vast vast lab experience. And I know you're a fan of particle physics and as well.
Yeah.
So this, we've been hearing about this for years. And of course, I have a big special redacted history video that's coming out soon on this free energy sourcing that the government has kept from us for years. It's public, it's been suppressed, and they don't want, because if these large companies can't make money off of this, if it's free energy, they're done. I mean, they're out of business. The fact that Nikola Tesla was rounded up and all of his stuff was stolen by the federal government, they don't give us free energy. So the idea that this free energy source is going to be readily available, I've seen reports today saying that the only reason we're even hearing about this suddenly is because other nations were about to make this announcement and we wanted to be the first to make the announcement.
Yes, in fact, take a look at the next screen. Japan says that they are actively competing to succeed with nuclear fusion. In September, their minister in charge of science and technology said, "We are no longer in an era of cooperation, but an era of competition. We will further discuss the matter to draft a strategy while following the moves by other countries." So they are not working with anybody else. They want to have this immediately.
100 years ago, we had the technology where we could literally have free energy that could travel 26 miles without copper wires. And we have this technology that's been suppressed since the 1970s, nuclear fusion.
Well, and I've always wondered myself, like, I always think about electric vehicles, how they are. Like, in our old vehicles, we had an alternator that when the engine was running, it would turn and it would power the battery, right? It would send power back. Why can't they generate that in electric cars when the wheels spin? Like, I always thought, if it's the same concept, the wheels could spin and charge the battery, but it's not. So it's like, I feel like they have intentionally made it so you have to be dependent on a grid of some kind that they control.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because how else will they control us? This is the point, right? These are how these globalists control us. How will they control us if it's all free? And we have etheric energy exists around us. This was already being harnessed back well over 100 years ago. Again, I have a whole deep report coming out on this that we've been working very hard on here as part of our new Redacted History series.
Right. Think and about how free. Affordable energy could really change people's lives, make it so people are not freezing this winter, make it so there's no heat-related deaths, make it so there's a million ways that, yes, this would be better for more than just, you know, our electric toothbrushes, but actual poor people's lives.
Right, and they seem to always be focused on climate change. Like, what is better for the climate than us being energy, grid independent? Right.
Yes. Yeah.
We keep saying our reliance on foreign fossil fuels and all of this stuff. We got to be independent, energy independent. But what does that mean? It means dependent on their control. Not you get to be independent, like where you and your house are totally free of like any grid or anything. No, they need to make sure that they're making money off of you.
And as long as there is a component needed in order to create this reaction that we don't mine or harness, then it does not clear up geopolitics at all. Japan is saying they're going to have a reactor for this in place by middle of this century. But as you can see, it's clearly not ready for prime time. So in the meantime, we still have fossil fuel related energy, unless you're in Sweden. Now, Sweden is saying that it will return to nuclear power. The Swedish Minister for Foreign Affairs, Tobias Billström, I'm not exactly sure how you say with the O with the two. Is it an umlaut?
Where do I see this? I don't even see his name.
Tobias.
Yeah, I think it's Strom.
Yeah, Billström.
Okay. He says that Sweden must build more nuclear plants as a tool to create energy independence in Europe because Sweden is suffering. Take a look at this Bloomberg headline today. Sweden's free-falling property market triggers worst economic slump in the EU. So largely due to economic sanctions, they just cannot continue to circle the drain. And we see politicians, some who continue to say, well, you know, the planet, we don't want this. And then some who say, I can't let my people suffer. We're going to nuclear. And I applaud this move. But while we still do have gas-powered energy, today the EU says it's working on a carbon tax. That means importers will pay a tax on what they sell inside the EU based on greenhouse gas emissions. And many importers are saying they don't like this because it will drive up prices for them. And those price hikes, they will pass on to us, the consumers, so goods will get more expensive. But this is something that climate researchers like Bjorn Lundberg actually say is a good idea. Only if, he says, all countries get on the same level of taxation, which is that going to happen? Here's what he says. He says, by this carbon tax, we can most effectively reduce the damages from climate by just having one carbon tax across all countries and goods. That way, producers can't just shift their emissions to a factory in another country, and then everyone faces the same costs. But the next screen here, he says, what are the chances that we actually get to one carbon tax? He says, the second sentence, chances are basically zero, that there will be one uniform, steadily increasing global carbon tax carefully coordinated amongst China, India, the United States, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the EU. So, if we just see the real world muddling through with some countries setting carbon taxes too high, others setting them too low, all adjusting them up and down according to local events and political pressures, that means that any actual carbon tax will become much more expensive than the theoretically pure model with a single global carbon tax. So nice that the European Union is doing this, but they cannot do it in a vacuum. And if they do, then it's going to be like another sanctions on consumers. Geopolitically speaking, we're not in a great place right now when it comes to energy.
No, and also the United States being hit with massive storms. Let us know how many of you are in the United States right now watching. I know we have viewers all over the world, but if you're in the United States, horrible storms, big snowstorms, of course, sweeping from the West Coast to the East Coast. There's tens of thousands of people without power in California. You guys were without power, I think, in Portland, up in that neck of the woods. And then it's going to go all the way across the country, deep freeze. And of course, this comes at a time when we've had 106 attacks on our power grid in the United States over the past 8 months. So, we're like literally teetering on the brink of destruction here with this power grid situation right now.
Yeah.
All man-made. This is an all man-made crisis. So when you hear your newscasters talking about this shit, it's all man-made. It's because of your politicians.
Yeah. Maybe Philip, can you see this super chat from Chris Beatty? about being a nuclear engineer. I'll read it to you, and then maybe can you try and explain?
Yeah, I can see it. It says, excuse me, I've got a cough real quick.
I can read it, and then you explain. The problem with conventional fusion approaches is that high-energy neutrons will destroy the reactor skin in a matter of hours. Does that mean the actual reactor that's built and something about the neutrons destroys the machinery? Is that what
the problem with conventional fusion?
So, I mean, I don't know 100% because I'm not a nuclear engineer. I was a molecular biology major, but I do basically you like what makes deuterium and tritium is neutrons in a hydrogen molecule. So it's an isotope. So like deuterium has two neutrons, one proton, one electron. So the way that I'm not really sure of the process of fusion. So, it sounds like because I know one of them is a radioactive isotope, it will like fire off neutrons to the best of my understanding. And so that could be what he's referring to as it will actually destroy the
machinery
itself that houses it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barth in our chat says, Barth Northeast says UK is cold like it's always been in winter. Others are saying, yeah, and Caltrans, was it Caltrans? Is that the name of it? Or Cal?
Caltrans is like BART in San Francisco.
Oh, PG&E. So JG says, yes, PG&E shut power off for about 4 hours today in Napa, California. It's all over the place. We're seeing these things here. Maurice, nice to see you from the Philippines. So... yeah, I mean, again, I come back to this point, and Natalie did a great job of breaking this down, but there's been a suppression of this technology for decades. We've had it. They've been keeping it from us because they don't want us to have free energy. They want us to be relying on these and us to pay for it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about the Gates pandemic, the next Gates pandemic, and the womb factory. So we don't need women anymore. Just go down to the womb factory and have a baby. You're going to see this unbelievable. It's like sounds like science fiction or something out of the Matrix, but it's actually true. So cool. let's talk about Bill Gates and the next pandemic. Bill Gates and the World Health Organization have announced when we will see the next pandemic, and they have a date for us. So get this on your calendar. Prepare, you know, plan your trips around this next pandemic right now. We'll have more on that in a second and the dates. But you'll remember Bill Gates and the World Health Organization previously held what was known as the 2001 event, Event 201. And it was about the Event 201 exercise. It was a simulation involving a coordinated global response to a coronavirus that they held in a simulation just months before COVID-19 was declared a global pandemic. So they're pretty good at predicting this stuff. I don't know how they pull this off.
Fauci, remember Fauci told Trump in 2017, not that there could be, not that there might be, but there would be a pandemic during his presidency.
Yes.
Yeah, and Obama ran exercises for it during his pregnancy.
During his pregnancy.
During his presidency, too.
So, at the womb factory.
So they've just gotten together and they're doing it again now. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and the World Health Organization. I wish I was making this up, but this is not a conspiracy theory. They did this. And they just conducted their next pandemic tabletop exercise in Belgium. It's called the Catastrophic Contagion. Hey, honey, where are you going this weekend? I'm going to Belgium. I got a conference. Oh, yeah. What's it about? It's called the Catastrophic Contagion event. Oh, what are you guys going to be doing? Oh, we're just planning the next pandemic, just getting everything ready, ready, locked up, and the new virus and vaccines. We'll have vaccines ready to go because that's how we do this. We plan it, and then we, of course, have the vaccines ready to go. So this is the video that Bill Gates put together, along with the team, complete with simulated news reports like this. This is really what they're preparing for us. This video is called Get Ready. Watch. Catastrophic contagion, a global challenge. breaking news.
Two Latin American countries alerted the WHO of several outbreaks of a new infectious disease that's mysteriously appearing across the region. Severe epidemic enterovirus respiratory syndrome 2025.
Oh, so that's the name, guys. Just write this down. That'll be the name of it, okay?
It's going to
be SEERS. It's going to be called the Severe Epidemic Enterovirus Respiratory Syndrome, and 2025 is when we'll see it, okay? Now, it says at the bottom this is a fictional scenario, but come on.
Over the past 6 weeks alone, there have been 500 confirmed or suspected cases reported. The virus could cause a severe pandemic if early containment and mitigation efforts are not successful.
The pandemic in this type of situation and trend would be a risk for the global health security.
Pandemics are inherently political, financial, and so much broader.
We have not spoken on the leadership in the country. And I think that we need to be also very careful. We cannot decide a lot of things without the leaders be involved and agree on that.
Oh, really? That's an interesting point that she's making. Oh, instead of unelected globalists making decisions, she's saying, wait a minute, we need to have our leaders involved in this discussion.
Wait, so the white guy was the dissenter,
right?
Like the one we're supposed to say, oh, yeah, he's a naysayer. We don't agree with him. And
right.
Then she shuts him down.
She shuts him down,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
There is no substitute for national leadership.
It's important to support the local response or the national response.
Training those that are in these areas first, enabling them with the tools, protecting them, and if needs be, regional solidarity first.
At this stage, communication is key, and communication should include not just scientists with data, but also social, religious, and political leaders.
Trust. This is an essential issue, and trust was broken among countries, between populations and healthcare systems, between healthcare systems and governments.
I'm very sorry to say that in 2025, we need to strengthen the health system.
WHO needs to be a voice for the voiceless.
No one is safe until all of us are safe.
As of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide, with more than 20 million deaths, including nearly 15 million children. Countless millions are alive, but left with paralysis or brain damage.
Oh, okay. So that's how it all... So, I'm sorry. You hear those numbers? 1 billion people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Millions of children. And then those who are left will have brain damage and paralysis. So that's what we'll have. That's how this is going to unfold.
The most successful countries are those which invested in preparedness and trained for this moment years in advance. This included having full-time pandemic preparedness and response teams, which conducted detailed operational planning and routinely tested those plans through exercises and drills.
Okay. I should also point out, I didn't recognize her at first. This is Jean Reserve. She used to be a CNN anchor. She used to be a CNN reporter.
Did she?
Yeah. So now, I mean, just goes to show you like the cozy. I didn't recognize her at first. She's older. Gray, and I didn't recognize her, but she was a CNN anchor reporter. This goes to show you the coziness between the mainstream media and the likes of like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Health Organization to add credibility to a message that they're trying to get out. Right?
Yes, but we are also, we have been freelance journalists before too, and you realize that she's just taking a contract job. You know,
okay.
We shouldn't begrudge someone taking a paying job. So,
all right.
And I saw this circulating online really quick. And I found it on YouTube and I showed Jennifer because I was like, this is like crazy that this was before COVID hit that they were playing this. And now you can't find it on YouTube. Like, and I watched it on YouTube. So after it started to gain traction, it was scrubbed from YouTube. And now I believe you can only find it on Rumble.
This video?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said this was before COVID because this just came out.
Oh, this is the new one? Okay, so you've not seen the old one then.
Oh, I saw... I never saw the old one.
Okay.
No, this is the new one that they just released.
I'll show you that because... Because they did the exact same thing before COVID, and it was basically this exact same thing. They laid out that it was coming. They had news people. They had the table of people talking about it. It's like basically the exact same thing.
Yeah, I couldn't find that video. I mean, I showed you the event 201, but no, this is the new one that just came out. This is the brand new one they just did in Belgium for the 2025, the new pandemic.
The toll might have been much less.
There it is. Catastrophic contagion from October 2022. And now 2025. So that's what it'll be. It'll be the Sears infection. The Sears virus.
Well, they said that was an enterovirus. They said that was an enterovirus, which is polio was an enterovirus.
Oh, good.
So,
and COVID was not?
Interesting.
No.
Neurovirus. No, COVID was a corona.
Oh, okay. That's a type of.
So, yeah, the same people behind Event 201 that David was just talking about from a few years ago took place almost 3 years ago to the day, by the way. They completed their new one now, and they say that this is going to originate in Brazil 2025 and get ready. So in addition to Bill Gates, the 10 current and former health ministers and senior public health officials from Senegal, Rwanda, Nigeria, Angola, Liberia, Singapore, India, Germany participated in this simulation. They had pre-recorded news broadcasts, as you saw, and then they had the virus simulation, and they tested the rates of spread and how this would affect children and sweep across the globe and how they would, you know, go into lockdowns and what they would do, and preparing, of course, for vaccines as well, making sure that those are lined up perfectly with this. See, this is the beauty of what these guys do, right? They know it's coming, so then they just develop the vaccines that they can sell to us, and they have them ready to go right there.
Yes, but you can see there's a clear narrative of, like, you know, naysayer guy, you know, saying, well, these pandemics are political. We're not going to hand over power. Absolutely not. And then the sort of cooler heads in the room prevail, like, no, we need a global response. We need centralized power. No, we absolutely. No, you unreasonable guy. They played him as a caricature.
Right.
And then they showed other people saying absolutely. And it's interesting that they have people who look like they're from African countries when the African Union has said, we do not want to participate in centralized power through the World Health Organization if there's a next pandemic. We absolutely will not be handing over power this way.
Yeah,
that's well, and one thing
that
I said,
African nations that stood up and actually voted that down. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, like I was saying from the very, very beginning, and we were talking about it on the show, that if there was actually a global pandemic, then these companies would have got together with world leaders and they would have created this vaccine and spread it to the world free of charge because they are profitable enough. The government could have paid for it to do that. But when they made it so that they created basically 9 new billionaires and it was so profitable for them, that shows you the true motivation, that it was nothing about a pandemic.
Right.
Yes.
And this is the same thing. It's like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Mrs. Mom in the chat is saying, do you see that they're saying targeting kids? Because that was the piece that I feel like that was missing from COVID, is that we realized that it was not particularly terrible on children. And so this is what it's like trying to show us that would be different. Because if we got another COVID related disease, we might not all mobilize the same way we did the first time.
Right.
But if it's going to hit our kids. Oh, it's, you don't just live with long COVID, you live brain dead.
Well,
oh,
that's the polio,
you know,
thing that Philip's talking about, right?
Right.
I was going to say, I wonder if that's why they chose an enterovirus, because they wanted to, it just wasn't scary enough. It's not scary unless it involves children.
Right, and then you,
and so
then you
maybe
make
that's why they
a
went
polio
to
vaccine, to your point earlier, as part of a routine, like...
Well, it is.
Now, polio is now part of your routine shots. What I'm saying is whatever new thing that they create would become part of your new inoculation schedule for children.
Yes.
So this 2007, they had a lockdown in place, we learned this week. Do some good digging here. We learned this morning, thanks to some good reporting by Will Jones, that the U.S. government had a plan in place for lockdown since 2007, to lock down and wait for a vaccine again. Since 2007, it's a pandemic plan produced by the National Infrastructure Advisory Council. It was hosted on the CISA website. It lays out banning any large number of gatherings, definitely closing schools, non-essential businesses, institute work-from-home policies, and quarantine exposed and not sick individuals. Quarantine those people, too. The aim is simple and clear: to slow the spread and wait for the vaccine. And here's a quote from the plan. During a pandemic, the goal will be to slow the virus's transmission. Delaying the spread of the virus will provide more time for vaccine development while reducing the stress on an already burdened healthcare system. So that was in place. That's been in place. Thanks to Will Jones for uncovering that. So there you go. That's get ready, 2025 Brazil. And mark your calendars now. Make sure you plan your vacations accordingly.
Okay. I don't want to do that, but
I don't either.
Thanks for the invitation.
It's like the Olympics. Who's going to host it?
At least we already have a name for it.
Yeah, we got a name for it. We just need the t-shirts and we need a song. You know, like Shakira puts out her World Cup song. We need a song for it, for the new one. All right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about this Womb Factory here in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because right now, through the end of the year, our favorite trading platform is giving away up to 20 free stocks and a chance to win $60,000 as part of their holiday sweepstakes. Now, they are one of the largest brokerages in the world. They have $8 billion transactions. They have over 18 million users on the platform. They are very, very large. And you can win up to 20 free stocks and get entered into your chance to get these $60,000 right now. So the market's crazy. I mean, you don't have to trade anything. You just open an account and you get free stocks. So take advantage of that. When you open up, you open up the account, you get a free stock, zero deposit, you get one free stock. You make a $100 deposit. Again, you're not spending money. This money is going into your account. And then you get your free stocks. You can close it if you want. So you've got your money plus your free stocks, and you can put it in your bank account. You can do whatever you want with it. Or keep it in there. Let those stocks grow. You don't have to cash them out. Let them grow as this economy turns around and the stock market maybe turns around next year at some point. And then you have some growth stocks in there, and you got some good money from it. All I'm saying is it's a great opportunity for you to learn as well. If you have that account, they have great trading platform education inside there. You can go in and learn how to trade, how to buy some commodities and learn these different things, and how to build wealth. Someone was just asking me earlier, could I put together a list of the stocks that I buy? And yes, I'd be happy to put together a little list of some of the stocks I cover and buy, like some of the gold producers that I buy, silver, et cetera, some of the uranium stocks that I buy, because we need these commodities going forward. You know, instead of investing in companies like Meta or Facebook, I invest in companies that pull actual tangible things that we need to live our lives. So that's how I like to invest. Anyway, check them out. And the way that you get those free stocks is to go to redacted.inc/moomoo. You have to use that URL. redacted.inc/moomoo is the way to get those additional free stocks. And we'll have a link in the description below as well if you want to check that out. All right. Good to see all of you. We're got like upwards of 30, 40,000 people watching tonight. So hello. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel. Really, really, really appreciate it. And thank you for being a part of our day. And we of your day. We of your day, you of our day.
Thanks for interacting with us. We're going to bring you a story that's a kicker. Get it? Like the womb.
You get kicked in the stomach. Womb.
Yeah, if you've never felt
when,
that.
When does that start happening? When we had our son, it was like 3 months
like
in?
Like 14 weeks.
14 weeks.
That's when I started to feel the kicking.
It was so weird. She's like, can you put your hand here? And oh my gosh, you feel the little foot, you know? And then of course, the whole pregnancy process is so incredible, right? And there's this like amazing energetic connection between a woman, yes, I said that, and her child. Right. Mm-hmm. And feeling that like consciousness, that connection, you know,
remember between. You used to be able to feel it when we would lay side by side.
Yeah. Like, spooning.
Yeah. You could feel the kick. He could feel it through my belly.
Yeah. Into my back, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. So we're watching right now. The reason I say that is because that's a beautiful experience. Right. So we're watching as these globalists, they're moving us towards a future where transhumanist agenda is carried out, where gender is dissolved, like there's no male or female anymore, like that's what they want, where biological women are no longer needed. And today, the Cambridge Dictionary, no shit, this is totally true, the Cambridge Dictionary updated its definition of a woman. What is the new definition of a woman? The new definition of a woman today is, it now states that a woman can also be an adult who lives and identifies as a female, though they may have been a different sex at birth.
Yeah.
So that's the new dictionary definition of a woman.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, did they also update the definition of a man? Is it the same?
I don't believe they did.
I'm just kidding. Curious.
I don't think they did.
Wow.
I don't think so.
How sexist of them.
Wow.
And you know, it's very hard to define something when you use the word to define it. It's an adult who lives as a female,
yeah,
right? Which is essentially a woman. Then what is a female? You know, you can just keep going rounds and rounds.
And then you go into female and it says, see woman.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, and yeah, what kind of a picture of the person would you put in the book too? You know, you have a picture of a flower, a picture of a bird, like this is the toucan, this is the elephant, this is a woman. Like, what do you put there?
Well, I mean, you don't have to put a representation of a face, but it used to be at least of a biology.
Right.
But now those things are no longer synonymous with a term. We don't get our own class anymore.
So they're getting rid
us
of women.
Breeders.
They're getting rid of women. They're getting rid of breeders. This is all happening. And now this week, a German molecular biologist unveiled a new concept for the world's first artificial womb facility. It's called the Ectolife. And it will incubate up to 30,000 babies a year. This sounds like science fiction, but it's true. Hashim Al-Ghalali is the biologist who said, quote, the new concept relies on over 50 years of groundbreaking scientific research. He says, according to the new World Health Organization, around 300,000 women die from pregnancy complications. An Ectolife artificial womb is designed to alleviate human suffering and reduce the chances of C-sections. So here is their advertisement for these new womb labs. Buckle your seatbelts. This is real. Watch.
Introducing Ectolife, the world's first artificial womb facility, powered entirely by renewable energy. Ectolife allows infertile couple to conceive a baby and become the true biological parents of their own offspring. It's a perfect solution for women who had their uterus surgically removed due to cancer or other complications. With Ectolife, premature births and C-sections will be a thing of the past. Ectolife is designed to help countries that are suffering from severe population decline, including Japan, Bulgaria, South Korea, and many others. The facility features 75 highly equipped labs. Each state-of-the-art lab can accommodate up to 400 growth pods or artificial wombs. Every pod is designed to replicate the exact conditions that exist inside the mother's uterus. A single building can incubate up to 30,000 lab-grown babies per year. Ectolife allows your baby to develop in an infection-free environment. The pods are made of materials that prevent germs from sticking to their surfaces. Every growth pod features sensors that can monitor your baby's vital signs, including heartbeat, temperature, blood pressure, breathing rate, and oxygen saturation. The artificial intelligence-based system also monitors the physical features of your baby and reports any potential genetic abnormalities. The pods are equipped with a screen that displays real-time data on the developmental progress of your baby. These data are sent directly to your phone so you can track your baby's health from the comfort of your zone. The app also provides you with a high-resolution live view of your baby's development. A special section in the app allows you to watch a time-lapse of your baby's growth and share it directly with your loved ones. Babies can recognize language and learn new words while still in the womb. Ectolife growth pods feature internal speakers that play a wide range of words and music to your baby. Through the app, you can choose the playlist that your baby listens to. You can also directly sing to your baby and make them familiar with your voice before birth.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is completely insane. Like, you've seen over the years, they have completely removed human interaction from war, right? Like, you have no more eye-to-eye contact. It's all drones. It's all digital. It's all, you know, you don't see your enemy. And this is, like, removing the most important aspect from a child is hearing its mother's heartbeat, feeling like the connection to the mother, the umbilical cord, the food coming through. Like they didn't even talk on how are they feeding these things? Like what are they putting into their to give them any kind of nutrition?
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have to be synthetic food.
Right.
It can't be actually.
Well, I mean, I see this. I see this as like one of two options, and maybe it's just like I was watching and I thought it's one of two things, like soldiers and just worker drones. Bam. And now we've, you know,
yeah, but I saw so many people saying Matrix.
this is a clone army. This is the potential, you know, they paint it as we're helping women who can't have, you know,
who
complications
cancer.
From cancer and C-sections, but give me a break.
Right. 30,000 babies in one, like that's, there's that many women that are dealing with that. Right.
And actually, we have lowest mortality rates for pregnancy than ever before. When you think of, you know, how women used to have birth outside of hospital settings, like it's safer than ever before.
So this that's how they're couching.
And now, you know, we're told as mothers that vaginal births are able to expose them to a healthy bacteria that gives them a healthy microbiome. And so, you know, that's why they tell us really try to go for that vaginal birth. Well, this baby will just be like opened up like a present. There's no vaginal.
Well, and also it's
here.
Like its digestive system's going to be completely screwed because it's not taking in any human. Like the food that you take in and the nutrients come from that food out into the baby. Like, how's it going to deal with any kind of infection that you might have given it that it built up a resilience to or anything? Like, there's no human element to this.
Well, and that's the tangible stuff, right? The food and that kind of those elements. But what about like the intangible? I'll just throw this out to you guys in the audience and let me know. But like the consciousness, right? The to me, because I've seen people saying like this is godless, like
the
chat saying like this is godless, like there's like the consciousness of like a soul, like a human soul, and how is that brought to the child through this experience, right?
Well, even like babies that scientists show that are able to react to the schedule of their home. You think of like the voices and the routines of siblings, because they are in that home being grown with just a thin layer of skin between them, and they are already a part of the family. They are instead, connected to these souls that are in a laboratory. Where does consciousness even come in? And when they said, like, we can see when there's genetic abnormalities, my question was, and then what? Then you flush it?
Oh, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Gene editing.
Right.
We're looking at gene editing at that point, which is something absolutely do.
Yeah.
I know yesterday you were on your app looking at this baby, but today your baby is this. We found some genetic abnormalities and that baby has been swept out of the womb. Yeah. And now
do you want to swipe right? Swipe
baby.
Right, swipe left. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, this
honey,
is like,
you, honey, are you checking
this is like
stocks?
Gattaca meets Star Wars. You know?
Meets the Matrix. And, you know, the big reveal in the Matrix is that humans are no longer born. They're grown.
Yeah. And so here we are. I mean, this is transhumanism, right? This is what they want. And so there's a long track record. He talked about 50 years of history here. Well, we have a long history of this. The Verge in 2017 with this breakthrough story, an artificial womb successfully grew baby sheep and humans could be next. The Verge wrote in 2017, an artificial womb that can grow baby sheep. This artificial womb successfully grew baby sheep and humans could be next. From The Verge. And here they used what was known as a bio bag. So it was a plastic bag where they would literally keep, and they grow it in this like bio bag. And then, yes, it actually grew. According to science and stuff, the scientists behind the work grew 8 fetal lambs for 105 to 120 days in a bio bag, about the equivalent to human fetuses, 22 to 24 weeks of gestation. And then here they go. Here they were born. Watch. Look at that. That's one of the bio bag lambs.
It's super cute. I want it.
Super cute in a bag.
Well, and you know what's also crazy to think about with this is like, you know, through time, because they're tracking so much stuff, it looks like, on these apps and through all this, the genetics and stuff. And then they're going to be playing them audio, feeding them food. They're going to like come up with averages like, oh, if we play them these audio messages, we get this kind of child. And it's like now we've figured out how to create the perfect child with this auditory, this kind of food and this. And then I didn't hear him say super serum or anything, but, you know, like to give like super soldier serum to these kids, like we end up with a much stronger male that comes out and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's where this stuff leads. It leads to completely manipulating
human growth.
Can
we breed them to be compliant? Can we breed them to be good readers or good at math or what have you? You know, and we will continue to agree to this if we increasingly disconnect ourselves from human interaction, disconnect ourselves from nature. The more we dive into our cell phones, the more we believe our lives belong in this technology, and we will eventually start to accept this.
Yeah, and this will be, you know, it'll start out with him saying it's about the woman who doesn't want to have the C-section because of trouble with cancer in the past, but it rolls in deep and dark ways. And he, the scientist behind this, says he thinks that this concept of ecto life will replace natural birth in the future, he says. So basically, we don't need women.
Well, I mean,
anymore.
Think about it. If you knew as a parent that you could try on your own and maybe fail and go through a bunch of pain, or you could end up with potentially the perfect child because it was incubated this way, and it's going to cost you less money or something, like, you know, time and money, what would you choose? A lot. It's like the people that choose fast food. It's like they pick the easy way because they don't have to go through any pain. They don't have to deal with anything. They just get handed this thing that they put in their body or take. And
yeah. And that's, and accept it.
Yeah. That's literally the plot
experience.
Of Gattaca. That's,
yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's literally the plot of Gattaca, where that's what they do. You know, is the couple has a natural born child that has a heart defect. So their next child, they get a genetically superior one. They have it gene edited so that they can like create the child they want.
I mean, this is happening. So, yeah, this is not science fiction anymore. Like, this is happening. And in fact, you know, Joe Biden, back when he was not demented, back a number of years ago, he, during the hearings for then John Roberts, who was it George W. Bush? George W. Bush's choice for the Supreme Court. During that confirmation hearings, he was asking him, he said, John, you will have to vote. You will have to make a decision on about being having things implanted in your brain. You will have to vote on like these types of stories. Like this will be the stories of the future. He talked about chips implanted in brains. Like we're here. Like we have Elon Musk announcing Neuralink. Like this is happening. It's really, really, I don't know, really, really troubling. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the comments below. And if we have any super chats we'd like to get to before we wrap things up on this Taco Tuesday. New Rebel,
yes,
just joined us, Arrow. Just grab five of them if you can. Thank you so much for your kind super chats tonight. Really, really appreciate that. And your Rumble rants as well. Any Rumble rants, I'll check Rumble here. I got my Rumble pad in front of me.
Okay, cool.
Eric the Viking says, destroy all of it. I know. I mean, think about this. This lab, this guy, this scientist says there's 75 fully functioning laboratories can be found within the building, or all of these growth pods. I mean, can you imagine like walking in there? Like you're like, just, you don't even know.
Well, like, and when you compare,
crap.
No.
When you compare that, you look at like stories like the declining population in Japan, stuff like that, where they've got this aging population because they're not getting enough babies. And then you've got like all the stuff with, you know, like Gen Z and millennials not having babies because they can't afford it. And so when you have like you combine all of these things and then, oh, we happen to have a solution. And that's where I was saying like worker drones, basically, like you can just create a class of people that just go do all of the work. And so they can make 30,000 at a time. That's not too bad.
Well, doesn't that go against their argument of population control? Because they're like, hey, we need to control the population. We're having too many people. But let's make a thing that can make 30,000 babies at a time.
Yeah, well,
what sense does that make?
You see, if they can get rid of the people who aren't compliant, right, that who don't take vaccines, and they can get rid of those people because we have too much traffic.
Exactly.
And get rid of those people. And then they can replace them with these worker drones. This is going to be the plot of my next science fiction book.
Well, they probably will have... I think
it's going to be
inside them.
Go ahead.
Where they can just deliver whatever they need to deliver to them throughout their life. Like, okay, it's time for their booster.
Right. Or boosted. They'll come all the way vaccinated. Yeah.
They'll be pre-vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly.
Pre-vaccinated.
Get your baby. Yeah. Pre-vaccinated.
Yeah.
Pre-brined, like a brined chicken.
What were you going to say,
Philip? Sorry about that.
Oh, that was fine. I was going to say, like, when Clayton says the plot of his next science fiction novel, I'm like, this is basically the plot of my daughter's future life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, doesn't even need to be science fiction. This is literally, you know, like where they're trying to go.
Yeah.
And it probably won't happen in my lifetime, but it could very well in hers.
I know. My first thought was, I want to be done with human life by the time this is a reality. I want off this planet, and I feel sorry for my kids for having to deal with this as their next soul challenge.
Oh boy.
So we got Silver Stacker in Training with a $100 super chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
And then that Nana of Montana, $250 super chats. Round two will be more dangerous. First one didn't do enough, so have to do round two.
Talking about the next pandemic. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, it feels that way.
Yeah. And then Tommy Felix with a $10. Best way to create nuclear fusion, use H3 helium-3.
Okay.
And then Jared Chavez, the public interest of this crypto money draws attention from all nations involved, thus creating an easy lobbyist opportunity. Fortunately, he was caught.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd like to know more about this story.
And then Zishan has a recommendation for a super chat. Redacted, as much as I love this show, you guys should also look into utilizing Twitter Spaces to cover breaking news. I practically live on Twitter Spaces after Elon's takeover.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering if we could do like a Twitter Space Live for the show. Like, is there a way we could route this so it's a Twitter Space Live on Twitter instead of just the video stream?
I'd have to look into that because I don't know. I think you can only do Twitter Spaces on your phone, but I think like we could put your phone. I'd have to look into it. I'll work with it on my system and see if I can do it, and then we'll see.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back here tomorrow, same time. Same place on all of the same platforms.
No, I was going to mention our newsletter because we've got our large audience right now, and I'd love for them to, I say it at the beginning, but I'd love to say it at the end. She hates when it's the end of the show and then I have
and
to.
And he talks for 5 minutes and I'm like this.
But can we also point out that we figured out during this show that Clayton is the little spoon? I thought that was interesting.
The what little does that spoon? Mean?
It's like you said, you could feel the kicking on your back. So
a little spoon, yeah.
Like, yeah,
I like to be wrapped up like a little bird.
I like that.
Yeah.
We only did that when we were pregnant. Now we use that Medline, and we can't get to each other because we're both like in our little pods.
They're so big.
So yeah. we don't do any of that anymore. But I remember when I was pregnant, and we had our middle child would always get the hiccups at 4 a.m. and wake us both up because we could just, it would like hop the bed. And then when I'd have to go to the bathroom, I'd be like, honey, push me, because I couldn't get
roll
out.
Her out of the bed.
I couldn't get out.
She was like
own.
A beach ball. I had to push her out of the bed.
I need you to push me out.
So I will mention our newsletter. She writes it. I edit it. We publish it every morning at 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's the best newsletter in the world. It's funny, and all the kids love it. I mean, seriously, if you go to the food court at the mall or if you hang out at the cafeteria at the school, all the kids, they're not even talking about Pokemon anymore. All they're talking about is the Redacted newsletter, just like you can overhear them talking about it. So go to Redacted.
Justin Bieber was late performing a couple of weeks ago. He was late starting his concert because he was reading the newsletter.
Mm. I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Yeah. So if you read the Redacted newsletter, it's free, redacted.inc. It's not .com. Just sign up. You'll get a confirmation email. You must verify your email. That's very important. And then you'll receive it tomorrow morning. We added a little nice Santa hat to the top of the newsletter for you tomorrow morning. So added some nice Christmas graphics. All right. That wasn't so bad, was it? Much love to all of you guys. Thank you guys for subscribing to the show and being a part of our community. Now I'd like to read you some poetry, if that's okay, before... No, I'm not.